Hi, welcome back, everybody, to what do you call this song, Rick? Nacho Sports Night.
Whatever you want. I don't care. Call it anything.
Okay.
Just, you know.
Call it anyway.
That's fine.
Okay, for November 8th, and we have on the other on the end of the line a very special guest, guy that I haven't talked to in a number of years. The last time I was dealing with him, I was grading his papers. And he still managed to make something of himself. And that's Matt Porter, formerly of Gloucester. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. I let's get it out of the way first. I'm obviously fighting the urge to call you Mr. Kern.
Yep.
No two ways about that. But, you know, Tim and Rick, happy to join you here. It certainly has been a long time, Tim. And, can't believe it's 20 years and we're coming up on our 20-year high school reunion here, which is just unbelievable to me. But,
I was trying to figure it out. So I had you in class in 1999-2000. Because you would have been 2000-2001, it would have been your graduate senior year. Because you usually took AP back then, a junior year.
I was a junior year AP, and I hope there's not going to be a quiz, but I feel like I feel like all that stuff is still lodged in my brain somewhere. I have to assume it's there somewhere. I'm covering up rocks.
Having said that, I can now feel that I've done my job, that you can look back in the depths of your memories and find some of that.
Well, you know, Matt, let me interrupt here, Matt. You're gonna find out how much you remember when you watch Jeopardy. That's where it all comes out.
That's it. That's exactly it. I remember the good times. I remember the laughs in that class. And as far as the facts and figures, I'm sure they're stuck under some rock somewhere in that brain of mine.
So, Matt, let's talk about the journey you've been on. You know, I came across you up to the Twitter feed saying you were back covering the Boston sports, and I was like, "Whoa, okay." And you're out of town doing the same thing. So after high school, where'd you go to college, and then what was the rest of the journey?
Well, the long and short of it is when I was really around the time that I was taking your AP class, I started writing for the Gloucester Daily Times. Dom DeCastro was the sports editor then, and I was covering high school sports and kind of training and knew I always wanted to get into it, even from like age 12 around there. And, you know, I was about 16 and started getting newspaper bylines, which was obviously a thrill at the time. And that, gave me a pretty good package to go to Emerson College, you know, pretty good application there with all the clips that I had, and went to Emerson in Boston, started writing for the Boston Globe midway through that. Had a radio show, had some TV work that I was doing there, and just tried to get experience in whatever way I could for, you know, the journalism path that I wanted to take. And out of college, tried to get a job at the Globe. They weren't exactly hiring, you know, come back with more experience type of thing. And I found myself in West Palm Beach, Florida with the Palm Beach Post. Stayed there 9 years, wound up moving to Miami, met my wife down there. And then in 2018, the Globe had an opening for the Bruins beat, which is the job that I've always wanted. And I was lucky enough to get it, and here I am in my fourth season there.
Oh, it's been that long, in fact. So it had to be just this awful for you to accept the job down in West Palm Beach, Florida. You know.
It was fun. It was really fun.
Yeah, but you know, Tim and Matt, one of the things... Excuse me. I learned when I first started, the Boston market is so competitive in all major media, you know, TV, radio, and the newspapers. It's so competitive that we were told, and I used to tell my kids at the high school, you know, if you want to make it, you got to move out of town first because it's so competitive. The only guys who I've ever seen step right into the job are guys whose dads work for the Red Sox or Mike Lynch. I mean, other than that, you got to earn your chops, and you did the right thing.
Yeah, Lynchy, I think he was if I recall correctly, he was, you know, I mean, this is before my time, but he was a Swampscott High quarterback, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah.
Quarterback.
I mean, he's real lucky there to get that job. But yeah, I think I always knew was gonna have to move out, and I was just hoping it wasn't, you know, not to I don't know, pick a city, right? Somewhere in the middle of America or like, you know, some kind of smaller, small town. I mean, for your first job out of college, I mean, yeah, you can do a lot worse than South Florida. That was pretty crazy down there with the weather.
Went West Palm,
a couple hurricanes and, you know, had a great time. I mean, you know, pretty nice when it's January and it's, 70 degrees outside.
Yeah, exactly. And you're complaining about heat and everybody else is looking at you like, why aren't you cold?
I started out covering high school sports down there and, speaking of the heat, I mean, I was on the football field in the dog days of August where it's 98 degrees and 98% humidity and you're just, you're going through it, but, you know, it was a great experience just being able to cover high school sports.
Matt, we have another student and this will be I'm going to pull back after this, but we have another student who did sort of the same thing. He went down to Florida. He was introduced to Phil Esposito, who got him a job with Bobby Clark and the Philadelphia Flyers. Barry Hanrahan is his name.
And to this day,
he's the vice president and assistant general manager of the Flyers, and we're so proud of you guys when you do stuff like that.
It's funny, I was, when I first got the Bruins job, I wanted to try to get as good a handle on the league as I could, and I, wound up reading everybody's, all the staff for every team and just looking at the biographies and stuff, and I came across Barry's and I was like, Gloucester, Mass, okay. The only hockey person that I really knew from Gloucester was Ben Smith.
Yep.
Of course. Other than that, I hope I'm not leaving anybody out, but, guys or girls that really, made it to the highest level, that's who I thought of. But, you got a good team over there.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you connect with Barry, he'll give you the best interview and the best information because he's just like that. He's just a super, super nice guy, and he treats us old Gloucester folk pretty well.
Excellent. That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
All right, May, so let's get on your beat. What's wrong with the Bruins?
Well, you look at the schedule right now. I mean, I think they're finding their groove. They've had this weird schedule to start the year where they haven't played. They played the fewest games of any team, and I think that's part of it. They have a lot of new faces. They have two new goalies, really, if you count Swayman, who's coming back after his little audition last year, and Linus Ullmark, and got a bunch of new forwards. They're trying to work new defenseman Derek Forbort into the mix, so it's kind of a group that really hasn't found itself yet. I still think they're a playoff team, but I mean, I was in Toronto last weekend watching them, and that's a team that really struggles to play defense against speedy teams. So that's kind of something that they kind of have to get a handle on here. They got two games coming up this week, and one of them is Thursday against Edmonton, Connor McDavid. So that's going to be another big test. So they're not in trouble yet, but it is November, and you can't fall too far out of the playoff race, which they're currently, I think, 10th in the East.
I haven't really followed. Where's Tuukka?
Yeah, Tuukka is currently rehabbing. It's his contract expired last year, and he's been there for 14 years, and he didn't renew his contract. He had hip surgery, and basically the way they left it was, if you're healthy and we need you, then you can come play for us. And they kind of have this understanding that if it comes time when he's recovered in January or February or March, whenever that is, and they need him, then they'll sign him. But other than that, he's essentially not around.
So is he technically a free agent?
He is, but he has said that he doesn't want to play anywhere else. It's kind of like you get this with kind of the guys in their mid-30s, the veterans. He's got three kids. He lives in Newton. He doesn't want to, that's where his stuff is. He doesn't want to move across the country or something like that. So.
Okay. More personal to you, are you living up in the North Shore or are you turncoat and went South Shore?
No, I had to come back to the North Shore. When I first got the job, I was living in Brighton. We were living in Brighton, my wife and I, and last year, right when the pandemic started, we got a place in Salem. So we've been here and just love it. It's a fantastic city.
Let me ask you, Matt, go back to the Bruins for a second here. I listen, and I'm sure you must tune in every now and then to the expert talking heads on Boston sports radio, and I'm saying that with my tongue in cheek here.
Not much.
Well, I understand that. I get that. I try to tune in every now and then to see if they have a cogent interview with someone. But at any rate, they were really, in my opinion, disrespecting Patrice Bergeron. And I think that Patrice Bergeron is one of the greatest players of all time and could play in any era with any team. But he's the Bruins' captain. And I think he should have been captain long before Zdeno Chara left at him. But anyway, how's he looking to you? Because they had him, you know, they had him buried in the graveyard, and then I guess it was Marchand, and it might have been one of your stories, who said, this guy does so much for us even if he doesn't score. Don't be talking about that. So what's your opinion of how Bergeron is playing?
Yeah, it's I was there when Brad was talking about that, and it is funny you say that, because that had kind of come across my radar that Bergeron was being bashed on, I don't know if it was the Sports Hub or EEI or whatever, but it was news to me, because that's not really a part of my diet, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to that. So, I mean, he's had a slow start. It's kind of to be expected. I mean, he is 36, so it's going to maybe take him, you know, he knows that he has to be fresh for the playoffs. I think that's his main focus. So is he going to, you know, waste all of his bullets in October and November? Probably not. But that being said, he hadn't scored in his first seven games, so it was a little bit concerning, even though, as you mentioned, Ricky, you know, he does a lot of different things. You know, one of the best face-off men, the defense, you know, his defense is incredible. He's always in the right spot. He's moving the puck well, but, you know, just not filling the net. And then as soon as everybody starts talking about, well, what's wrong with Patrice Bergeron, he goes out and scores four goals in a game.
Yeah.
I think he's doing okay now.
I think so. Yep. Tim?
Well, you know, I've been waiting to talk to you, and I get here, and I go, okay. But it's been so long, and so much has passed between. I've been retired now for 4 years.
I saw that. 28. Yeah. How's retirement going?
I recommend it for everybody that can get there.
I really can't wait.
And I go back to some a couple of days a week. I was there today. I do a lot of it in the city department. But I'll jump around. If, you know, I only go in when I want to go in, which is a nice part of it. But just keep my hand in it with the kids and, you know, all my friends on the faculty and all. So. But we just got back. I just got back from a week in Key West. So.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that was an easy trip for me when I was living in Miami. That was that's always fun.
Matt, let me ask you about your schedule and how your day goes, because we do have a lot of young guys who are interested in getting into sports, and you know, everybody wants to make it to the major leagues, but there's more than one way to get there, as you have shown. What's your day like at the Globe? What do you do? And tell us a little bit about you know, the schedule, the logistics of what you cover, and how you get your assignments and stuff like that.
Sure, and I should mention anybody that, you know, wants to, you know, chop it up or you know, wants to know about the business or anything like that, you know, feel free to reach out. You know, you can give them my contact info. But I guess it really depends on the Bruins schedule, at least right now. So I split the beat with Kevin Paul DuPont, who's been around for, you know, 40 something years.
Cool. Yeah.
Incredible guy, incredible writer. And we split, there's a Sunday column that we do, the Sunday Hockey Notes. And if I have the Sunday column, then I'm working on that 2 days a week and then filling in the rest of my schedule with phone calls and some practice time, you know, going over to practices in Brighton. But if I'm on a lot of game coverage that week, then it's a lot of, like this week, for example, tomorrow go to the morning skate in the morning, talk to the players, talk to the coach, see practice, write some early stories for the, you know, we still do a print product in 2021 and, you know, pretty popular considering, the way that part of the business has gone. But you write some early stuff for the print newspaper and for the web, and then I usually come home and do whatever I got to do here, and then go into the game around 5 o'clock and watch the game, write some stories, talk to the people afterwards, and then maybe go to practice the next day if it's a away game. You know, I'm going in the day before, flying up to the city like Toronto last weekend, you know, going to cover the morning skate and all that stuff. So it, during hockey season, you're pretty busy, and it's a lot of, it's game dependent. You know, you're going to practices, games, and morning skates, and making a lot of phone calls on your drive in, talking to sources, talking to, you know, different analysts, executives, players, all that kind of stuff. And then sometimes some news might break, you know, like unfortunately, you know, the Jimmy Hayes stuff happened recently, and that was kind of like a drop everything and do that for a couple days type story. And so you're always busy, and things are ever changing, even though you kind of have the games to center your work life around. You can be kind of anywhere all at once.
I've got one last question before I give it back to Tim. I'm sorry, Tim, but this is so cool. You know, before these controlled interviews, these post-game interviews, sports writers were able to go in, or as you said, call on the phone or talk to individual players. Are you able to do that to get stories that not everybody has?
I'm glad you brought that up, Rick. It's kind of one of the things that we're going through right now as a, you know, I mean, particularly in hockey, but with every sport. It was trending this way before COVID, where we were kind of being pushed out of the, you know, out of the locker room. And that is, you know, as you alluded to, that is really your bread and butter as a writer, because that's where your personal connections, you know, your ability to, you know, to get people to like you and trust you and want to open up to you, the questions that you ask in a one-on-one interview. I mean, that's where you get your best stuff. And it's a natural setting, you know, after practice, somebody's, you know, they're putting their helmet and their gloves in the locker room. You say, hey, you got a minute? And, you know, you ask them something, and it leads to things that you never even thought you'd be writing about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that I've got my best stories. And, you know, ever since COVID, we know we've been out of the locker room, and I hope that it does go back one day, because, you know, that's really what I like probably most about the job is just that ability to make a connection and explore ideas and, you know, take a conversation where you never really expected it. Right now there's a lot of kind of press conferences where everybody's on camera and you're almost performing, you know, you're making like TV content for the teams in a way, which is kind of annoying, but, you know, you gotta find ways to get around that. Obviously you have to adapt, and, I feel like I've been fairly successful at doing that, but always trying to get better.
You know, Matt, that's what I was going to ask about, you know, how special is it to have this unique ability to have access to these pros, the hockey players that you cover. And, you know, at some point you move over to another team sport, but have access not only to the home team guys, but to the other guys around the league and get to know them on a different level, see them in a little bit of a different light than the everyday fan who's sitting at home watching him on a TV, but never really getting to know that particular player.
Yeah, like I've covered pretty much every sport you can cover, you know, football to soccer, lacrosse, and baseball, basketball. I've covered LeBron, I've covered Super Bowls, I've covered college football national championships. And I don't say that to brag, I say that to say that hockey's what I like best. You know, it's my favorite sport. I consider it my natural language, you know, my first language as a sport. I just like the game, and you know, I've always played growing up, and so I kind of have that love for it, and I think that really comes across when I get to talk to people that, you know, I don't cover on a day-to-day basis, because I am curious, you know, to learn more. I mean, these are the best hockey players, the best hockey minds on the planet, and to get to know them, but also, you know, understand a little bit of how they think about the game or what their ideas are. It's just endlessly fascinating to me. So I think I just kind of bring that enthusiasm, when I reach out across the league. Basically you have your contacts, you know, somebody will give you somebody else's number, or you talk to the PR person for that team and they'll give you a player who gives you somebody else, you know, and that's kind of how it goes. And, you know, you wind up just kind of, you're privy to a lot of really cool conversations and ideas, and I think that's, you know, way more. I think maybe if you're not in the business, or if you are a fan, you know, I get a lot of, you might think differently of it. I get people saying, you know, well, do you get to meet Brad Marchand and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, well, yeah, you do. But, you know, once you get over, you know, I kind of long ago got over that, the starstruck thing. So, you know, once you do that, you get to really connect with them and talk hockey. And that's way more fascinating for me.
Right. All right, Matt, we're going to have to wrap this one up because we have a couple more guests we need to talk to. But what I want to do is I want to bring you back a little bit later in the hockey season and go over where the Bruins are as they head to the back end of the season and hopefully the playoffs.
I will look forward to that. Yeah, reach out anytime.
Excellent. And if possible, let's send you a note. Maybe we can hook up and have a cup of coffee.
Sounds good to me, man.
Great to meet you, Matt. Thank you so much, and congratulations. Can't wait to read the columns, man. Good luck.